This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to Rooted and Robust Podcast.
People, how are you guys doing? This is Rooted and Robust Podcast. My name is Ozioma Anyoji. Welcome back to this awesome episode. I am here again with an amazing guest this week, and we want to look at dealing with grief. This is something that I have always wanted to talk about, because a lot of people are going through so much, and how are they dealing with this aspect of life? What is grief? Yeah. Okay, so I did a little bit of digging, and this is what Wikipedia said about grief, right? So it says grief is the response to loss, particularly to the loss of someone or something that has died, to which a bond or affection was formed. All right, so he also said that it's, of course, focused on the emotional response to loss, but it also has physical, cognitive, behavioral, social, cultural, spiritual, and physiological dimensions. There's a whole lot of things right there. But today we want to go deep down. And that is why with me today is a mental health coach. He's a health coach and also a podcaster. So he is dedicated, energetic, and compassionate health coach and a mental health podcaster with 10 plus years extensive experience in psychology and health education. Now, he is competent in helping people better their relationship with themselves and others through a holistic coaching approach while displaying confidence and professionalism at all times. So with me on the show today is JD, and he is joining me from North Carolina.
way across the globe,
like seven oceans, seven mountains, seven whatever.
Welcome. Grateful to be here, Dan.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm humbled to be able to have these conversations. Absolutely.
Yeah, grief. Talking about grief, you know, first of all, I mean, you're going to get into it because you are the expert here. I'm always wondering, if we react, grief is a reactional thing. It's our response to something, to a loss. But because we react to things differently, right? So Are there levels of grief, or are there stages of grief? Or let's start from there. Are there levels of grief? If there are, what are they? And let's get the conversation started from there.
Yeah. It's such a tricky topic, right? Because it's something that can happen. I mean, that was a great definition. It's also, at the same time, a very ambiguous definition, because, you know, what is that loss? You know, you could have lost, you know, a relationship, or even an object, and experienced the same emotions that I would go through if we're talking about, you know, the loss of a loved one. You know, because when truly, when we hear the word grief, you know, your mind immediately goes to the fact that somebody died. And that may not be the case. So it's a tricky emotion. And I think you said it. I mean, we experience, you know, so many different feelings, emotions on a daily basis, and those have the power to drastically affect everything, right? You know, our physical and mental health. And then with grief, you know, they talk about, there's five stages of grief, right? First being, and I say first, not really like an order, because there isn't an order. You know, you're going to go through these stages, but you're not going to necessarily go through them in the same manner that somebody else will.
Yeah.
You're not going to go through them in the same order. You know, you go through a denial phase, an anger phase, bargaining, you know, a true definition of depression. And then lastly, followed up with acceptance. And I've talked to, and I've actually devoted the whole season coming up here in a week to just this topic. And just that, just those 10 conversations that I have, you can see varying degrees of where people are in their journey, you know, when it comes to their loss, and at the same time, varying degrees of what they lost. It makes it challenging probably to, you know, even be, you know, in the grieving process because of that, you know? So yeah, I mean, you know, it's easy when you talk about like, you know, let's just say like, you know, a parent dies, for instance, you know, that people tell you like, you know, oh, it's expected, you know, they were later on in their life and, you know, it's almost like you're almost supposed to be like, you know, be able to take that loss head on because, you know, they're an adult and no big deal. But, you know, like, what does that mean? You know, does that mean you're not supposed to be sad or that you're supposed to be grateful that they passed away? You know, that you weren't a child when that happened versus an adult, you know? To me, like, I mean, grief, basically, I mean, to put it in an easier definition, is, you know, it's the reflection of the connection that has been lost.
Yeah.
And that connection can be anything, right?
Now, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Now, when we get to acceptance, what does that really mean? Does it mean we finally come to the point where we say, oh, okay, it happened, what do? I move on. And even though you were angry at the time, but now you are no longer angry, or is it the point where we get to where we say, okay, I am still very angry that it happened, but I can't do anything about that. So I'm just going to move on, even though I'm still angry, or do we stop being angry at that point? Because I want to really know, what does acceptance in this point, what does it really mean?
I think you're probably, you know, to some degree, always going to feel every one of those stages still happening. You know, it just becomes less frequent, you know, less heavy. You know, when it comes to acceptance, you know, when you just think of that word, it's just like, you know, almost feels like you're just saying, ah, well, time to move on. It, you know, it happened. And it's not necessarily like, it's not that like you've forgotten it or, you know, that it's happened. It's just the fact that, you know, that reality, that loved one or that relationship, you know, is gone. And there's a new reality that's going to be permanent. We'll never like this reality necessarily, or, you know, or make it okay. But, you know, eventually we kind of accept it. And you know, that's, to me, that's, you know, where the final healing and adjustment, you know, to the world can take more of a firm hold, despite the fact that healing is not linear at all. You know, it often, you know, looks and feels completely unattainable, you know? So it's, you know, you're always going to possibly feel anger, you know, to something, you know, that, you know, to that loss. And that's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with still feeling that. It's not like, you know, it's hard to talk about these stages because, you know, a lot of times people look at them like, okay, like, is that stage done? Yep. Okay. What's next? And it's, it's not, you know? You know, oftentimes, you know,
you could be going through maybe four of them at the same time. You're angry, you're denying it, you're in depression, you're trying to bargain your way out of the situation, and
I mean, you know, the anger, you know, can come from a lot of places, you know, but it's a necessary stage. It's, you know, it's just the most, I don't want to say importance, but it's the stage that you should probably pay attention to the most, you know, because a lot of times, you know, when somebody's angry and just in general, that, you know, that means they're masking their pain, or they're, you know, it can isolate you from your friends and family. But at the same time, it also means in this case that you're progressing through your grief, and that's good. Anger also affirms that you can feel, you know, that you did love and that you did, you know, that you have lost, you know, so it's a good thing. At the same time, it's just, to me, it's the phase that, you know, you want to pay attention to, and, you know, you don't want to linger on the most. They're all important. And, you know, like I said, I mean, you can't just, you know, tick it off in a box and be like, yep, all done. Not angry anymore, you know, cause you don't, life still goes on. Right.
Yeah,
and you don't know what's going to trigger it and you know, what happens. And so you have to be aware of that, I think.
Now I'm wondering, is it a good sign when something happens and the person doesn't feel anything and the person just accepts reality? You hear people like say, he didn't even cry, you know, he wasn't even angry, you know, he just accepted that. Is it a good thing in this conversation?
I mean, I think it is. I mean, and that's hard too, because, you know, we immediately zone in on that and say, well, you know, if you go back to just the loss of a parent, for example, right? You know, you might have a brother or a sister and you bawled your eyes out when your mom passed away and your sister or brother didn't. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's just, that's how it hit you versus how it hit them. And if you were asked, you know, years before that the situation happened, what do you think is going to happen? You know, how are you going to feel when your dad passes away? I mean, you know, he's right now he's 84. And when he does, you know, it'll be his time. I'll be okay. And then come that day and that time when it does happen, you're the one, a bawling mess on the ground. You know, you don't know. Yeah. You know, so it's hard to just look at someone and be like, well,
they can't take it.
They didn't have any emotion. They probably did. They just aren't sure what to do right now, you know? And I mean, you hear people, you know, all the time, you know, talking about their stages of grief and being in grieving that, like, you know, 2 years later, it's like, mm-hmm. they're having panic attacks or something. And they're like, oh, I don't know. And then they realize like, oh, because it, like, I'm still haven't processed the fact that my grandfather passed away 5 years ago, you know? So I don't think there's no wrong or right way to grieve, you know? It's all just going to happen the way it happens for you. I think the important thing to realize is that you're on that journey, you yeah. know, is not to sit there and go, okay, well, now I'll be fine. You know, you know, like, you know, my grandfather was, you know, 92, like I kind of expected him to pass away soon. Like, I'll be fine. Don't say that, because you might feel fine now, but you don't know what, you know, what's going to happen 10 years down the road, 2 years down the road, how you're going to feel. And so it's important just to, you know, recognize the fact that you've lost someone or lost something. Mm-hmm. And that means that you're on this path of grieving. And you'll never know, you know, you'll never know how long you're going to be on it. You know, I mean, I was, you know, talking to people that lost their parent or parents, you know, 3 years ago. And to me, like, when somebody tells me that, I'm like, well, you lost them yesterday, basically, you know, like it's still fresh and still new.
Whenever you come to that realization, that's when the healing starts.
Yeah. And that's important to pay attention to, you know, I mean, these emotions, you know, these reactions we have, essentially they weigh nothing to us. But, you know, when we experience a loss, you know, or total absence of someone or something we love, you know, that sensation feels so heavy that it, like, just completely cripples you and knocks you over. And at least understanding that as a possibility for you, it at least helped the process of grieving, you know, start. You know, and I don't want to say move along, because you could feel stuck and sad and crying and or angry or denying for, you know, weeks, months, you know, who knows. But I think just being able to see that you're on that path will kind of at least ease a lot of that process along, in my opinion.
Now, oftentimes when we are grieving or when we experience a loss, crying feels like the natural thing or what's most common to do. But then is there an extent to which someone will cry and it becomes a problem? Because, you know, when you're crying and crying and crying, and is it possible that you cry and then cry yourself into something else?
You know, I've read that, I mean, just biologically, eventually, like, your body just runs out of tears. I don't remember if it was, like, you know, in a day or crying. I mean, that comes from, like, you know, having enough, you know, fluid in your body, you know, enough water. That's where that's coming from. So, and I'm sure you could. I would always look at the fact, you know, if somebody were doing that, you know, to that extent, you know, what's not being done for them? You know, what are you not addressing? What are you not talking about? What are you not seeing possibly they need to, you know, either talk about or address, or, you know, seek, you know, somebody professional, you know, to help move that along, you know, cause it's understandable. Right. I mean, I mean, you can't put a timeline on that either. Yeah. You know, you can't be like, well, you know, my friend's been crying for, you know, every day for the past week. You know, every time they come home from work, you know, they tell me that they've, you know, cry for like an hour every night because their mom died, You know, you can't sit there and be like, well, that's way too long. Like, they should not be crying anymore. That would be inconsiderate and, you know, disrespectful to say, but it also should also in your head, you know, should at least signal the fact that, okay, I need to really pay attention to my friend because this obviously hit them way harder than they were ready for. And what can I do? It's just, you know, it's this empty and painful feeling that sits in your chest and just seems to rest there. You know, and grief is tricky because that it's just, they call it a heart-wrenching response to emotional trauma for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it is. And you don't know why. You don't know how to not breathe. So, yeah.
Aside talking to professionals like you, psychologists like you, what other things could people begin to do that helps in this journey towards healing?
Yeah, I mean, the spectrum that I deal with, I wish I was a professional psychologist most days. My end of it is holistically, you know, health coaching. And that to me, like the way I look at it is that's the bridge to the next step. Because a lot of times, you know, for people, especially, I mean, you would never flat out tell somebody that, you know, just lost their loved one, even, you know, 2-3 months, you know, 3 years ago, like, hey, I think you need to seek help. Because that might be the last thing they want to hear at that moment. They might already know that, but like, that's part of the step of acceptance. That means that this is real and I need to do about it. And they might not be ready for that. Mm-hmm. So my conversations, you know, and I certainly don't talk, you know, about grief on a day-to-day basis, but, you know, as it comes up, you know, I look at the fact that like, I'm at least the bridge to kind of get you to see what you might need to do, you know, and when it comes to, you know, seeking support for a situation like grief, you know, and the loss of somebody, you kind of need to search outside, you know, your circle. You know, you kind of start with your, you know, your immediate friends and family, but they're going to have one set of responses to you because, you know, they're close to you and they don't like seeing you like this because they see you every day in a different fashion.
Yeah.
You know, so they might possibly, you know, tread on eggshells, so to speak, that, you know, they don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or anything in between, you know, whereas somebody outside of it is not necessarily going to be inconsiderate and not be aware of the fact that this is a tough moment you're going through.
Yeah.
But they are also going to be able to be objective and say, look, like, you know, every time we talk, you know, you're constantly bringing up this one thing, or, you know, you seem to always be upset and sad or angry or whatever the case may be. I think we should do something about that. You know, even just those words, right? That's the, you know, when somebody tells me that, like, you know, the best thing you could do is talk about it, or the best thing you could do is listen to somebody. Mm-hmm. That's what that means. It is not just go let them just be a sounding board. And sometimes you need that. Mm-hmm. That to me is being able to do something with what that person said, you know, and that shouldn't mean that you have to fix it. I think we have a, you know, kind of an innate need to be the fixer for people. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you get to be the person they look back on and say, if it wasn't for JD, I would have never made out of it. No, you know, you shouldn't want to be that person. You should just want to be the person that points them in the right direction or finds the person that really can, you know, do something about it. Because, you know, with something as heavy as grief, you know, if you're trying to fix it all and do it all, you're going to end up, you know, possibly like feeling worse than they are that's going through it because you've put this weight on you, you know? The first thing I always tell people is, first and foremost, is to let yourself grieve. You know, that's the thing you have to, you know?
Don't buckle it up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at some point, you know, you begin to live again, but you can't do so until you've given grief its time, you know? And you don't get to dictate necessarily what that time is. You can't sit there and be like, okay, and by the end of the year, you know, I'll be done. I'm not going to miss the pack, but my parents are dead. You know, no, you don't get to, that's not going to happen. That wouldn't be realistic anyway, but you can also, you know, have some version of that where it's like in 2 months, you know, I'm going to make sure that if I still feel this way, I'm going to go talk to a therapist, or in 4 months from now, I'll start cleaning out my parents' possessions, or, you know, my wife's, you know, whoever it is, right? you can at least set that kind of a time limit, but you cannot and should not ever be setting a time limit on how long you're gonna be upset about it. It's never gonna go away, and that's fine. It's just gonna happen less frequently. My wife, her father has passed away. I guess it's been almost 10 years now from colon cancer. My mom has lost her older sister. It's probably been like 20 years, and then she lost her mom probably like 15 years ago. And if I look at the two, you know, my wife and my mom and how they processed all it and are processing it, It's still there. And I've you know, watched both of them. And when anniversaries come around, you know, whether that's the passing of them or birthdays, varying degrees of it, you know, sometimes they cry. Sometimes it's just a small tear. Sometimes it's, you know, nothing at all other than like a pause. You know, and you know that whatever you just said, whatever that is, it caught them for a second. I'll give you an example. So we have a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old, and my 2-year-old long ago, probably like at a year and a half. I don't know how it came up, probably because grandma, so my wife's mother, you know, there's pictures of her husband around. And of course, you know, we're going to talk about the fact that that's grandpa, but he has no idea that why grandpa's not here. So we told him that grandpa's not here. He's in heaven and he's probably fishing. And right. So he doesn't completely get that at all. Right. But every once in a while he would, you know, say grandpa or he did like just a couple weeks ago. And, you know, my wife will just say like, you know, yeah, like, well, you know, where is grandpa? And he'll say like, you know, heaven, what's he doing? He's, you know, fishing. And you could see, I was in the car with both, you know, my mother-in-law and my wife when he said that. And I couldn't see my wife. I could just hear my son, but you could feel that, like that the emotion just kind of fly in the room. Nobody cried, nobody got upset. They just kept talking to the 2-year-old but it's there. And here it is, you know, 10 years. So you never know when a 2-year-old's gonna say something that catches you off guard and makes you think for a second and go, phew. And you know, hopefully what that does is make you sit there and go, oh man, okay, I'm still not processing all that I should have. I need to deal with this. Or it's a moment where you go, well, that was emotional, but I can tell that I've taken one step forward here, you know, because it's not, that didn't hit me as hard as it would have, you know, even last month. And that's important to recognize when it comes to grief, is just seeing where you're at and constantly being okay with assessing that. And that's what I try and do to people that, or do for people, I shouldn't say do to people, do for people that come to me with that, okay, did you see that just now? Like, you know, you were talking about this situation, you know, last week, and you had to stop and move on. We couldn't talk about it, and now you can. And that's that, because you don't see that, right? I mean, that's it's hard to... it's hard to see when you're in the thick of things that that's progress, and that alone can help somebody. So it's a challenge, but it's a good challenge, you know.
Well, I want us to talk about people that, just like you yourself, are in the midst of people that are grieving. So you are the one having to watch these people go through so many of these emotions. In that case, what will you advise people to do? Because they are also going to, at some point, feel these emotions, because you are, just like you said, you will be in the room where the old emotions will jump out and fly the room. You will be there. So what role do these people play, and how can they also help in the healing process for people that are grieving?
You talk about, like, you know, what I do when I like, you know, have to have these conversations. How do I?
Yeah, you, because of your mother-in-law and your wife. Now, in relation to that.
Now,
talking about other people that are like you in this situation, what do you advise? Yeah, that
you know, I mean, help. That's as close, you know, and they're members of my family. I mean, I lost my father-in-law probably, I think I only knew him for about 2-3 years, so not long at all. He knew that, like, my wife and I were engaged, but he didn't end up seeing that we got married. My grandmother, my wife's, or my mom's mom, and her older sister. You know, of course they were in my life, but I lost them when I was in middle school and you know, just out of college. So older in life, but certainly not old enough to necessarily grasp all that. So, you know, it comes with like a lack of understanding as to, you know, what to do. I mean, I've experienced it, but I fortunately haven't experienced like a, you know, a direct loss like that yet in my life. So, I mean, for me, you know, being on that end of it, you know, the best thing I could tell people is to, you know, to really be there and just don't try and be that hero. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to be the one, like I said, that they go back to and be like, you know, if my husband wasn't there, if, you know, if my son wasn't supportive of the fact that I lost my mom, like, I don't know what I would do. You don't, you think you want that, but you don't, that's not going to help them. You know, I try and just kind of, especially, you know, on the days that, you know, anniversaries, like I said, come around, you know, for my wife, it's a little bit newer. And he passed away a day before his birthday. So it happens like back to back. I just know that those days are coming and I don't try and be any different. I don't try and be extra supportive or friendly or, you know, well, let me do that. Like, you know, cause then you're just reminding him of that every time. And they already have a reminder in their head. They don't need somebody else to be like, oh, why are you're only being nice today? Because you know that, you know, this is the anniversary of my best friend's death in high school. You know, like they don't need another reminder.
Yeah.
They just need to know that, you know, you know that this is going to be a tough moment, tough day for, you know, the next couple of years, who knows, and just be you know, and be compassionate and graceful for the fact that this isn't going to be fun sometimes. You know, it's letting them cry. It's letting them talk. It's letting them just be and have their moment, whatever that is. And it may not be, you know, but going out of your way, trying to be, you know, overly supportive or overly talkative or constantly bringing it up, you know, and asking questions on that day. You know, I might say something, you know, especially with my wife, like, you know, I might ask a question, like something simple, just to remind her of like the good moments.
Yeah.
You know, and like, she knows that I love asking like deep thought provoking questions. So it's not an anomaly for me, but you know, I'll ask, like maybe we're out, you know, at a museum or something like that with our kids, or, you know, like, did your dad like going to zoos? You know, like just something in that moment, like she's in this moment with like her family. What, cause I mean, and that works in my case, at least, because I didn't really know him. So I get to know things, but she's not going to necessarily like all of a sudden at random tell you that, you know? So it's helping people remind themselves of the good stuff and, you know, just naturally, not some forced scripted conversation, just, you know, simply, dad was a really great guy. Yeah, we know, you know, like we know that already. Like, that's not what's going through my head every day. It's those little things. And I think that's what people fear, is that they're slowly going to forget all those little moments. And so I like to remind people of that. Yeah, I mean, my mom is a little bit different. I mean, like I said, I was much younger when it happened. But she'll, you know, she'll say something, you know, on her own. And then I can at least like, you know, bank off of that. Yeah, I can remember when, you know, for her sister, you know, I can remember, you know, when Aunt Ro used to have us over and she used to cook these like elaborate meals. That's the first time I ever had asparagus. I probably have said that same story to her every time it comes up, but it's a reminder that her son got to meet her sister. Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder of like some, you know, simple good moment, you know, because a lot of times we forget those small, fragile moments. You know, we keep looking for this big, happy end goal, but you forget the fact that your dad liked to fish, or, you know, your older sister like to just play with Barbies. You know, you forget these small little things, and those are the important stuff.
It's this the conversation is inexhaustible because we're dealing with different people, different emotions, different ways of dealing with issues. So there is no one way cut it all kind of thing when it comes to grief.
No, but it's
also important that we recognize the fact that people are going through a lot, And these conversations are important.
Yeah.
It's also very important to know that if you are in a position where you are grieving, just like you rightly said, there is no moment of, okay, timetable, Monday, 16th yeah. of February, I'm done grieving. By 5 p.m., no. it will all be over. You don't have that luxury. You can't no. say that. But it's also very good that you accept reality when it hits. And that's when healing starts. Wow. Thank you so much, JD.
This no, has been thank you, Fran.
Amazing. This has been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm truly, truly, truly grateful to be able to have these conversations. So I appreciate you giving me the space to do so.
Yeah. And finally, before we go, what's the name of your podcast? I know you have a complete series coming up.
On yeah. So starting actually here, February 13th, it's What's Your Story is the name of the podcast, but this new season coming up is actually all lumped together. It's 10 amazing people, 10 amazing stories, all focused around just this grief. So feel free to listen in and, you know, better understand even just on a personal sense of what this, what we've been talking about, what it all means. Yeah. And then, you know, where people are along their journeys and the various types of loss you can experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So What's Your Story is on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts and on Google Podcasts, yeah. right?
It's everywhere. Yeah. Right. Hopefully.
Exactly. All right. This is what we call it a day, people. This has been Dealing with Grief, and I'm sure you got value. I'm sure you got value from this episode. I will come your way again next week with another amazing, amazing conversation. And of course, with another guest. Talk to you again. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Have a beautiful week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.